Shus Marina, Rav Shlita. The mention of onions and garlic in the Torah comes up in Parshas Baaloscha when the Israelites are complaining that they're not getting food like they had in Mitzrayim, as if to say that they enjoyed their life in Egypt so much. And apart from cucumbers, melons and leeks, they relish the thought of eating onions and garlic. Rashi and other Mefarshim there talk about the fact that the mon, which they received, never tasted like onion or garlic. It could taste like anything you wanted. My mon tasted like ice cream. And the tastes of onion and garlic were not put into the mon because it would affect women who were either breastfeeding. Anyway, the issue today isn't about that. It's to do with a number of other things. According to the various Mefarshim, is onions and garlic good for you? What customs there are, what chumras or dinim there might be, and also whether any mashalim come out from such an idea. According to the Yalkut Ruveini in Baaloscha, regarding this taste of the mon, his opinion is that it was kosher the shikcha, that by eating onions and garlic you might become forgetful. But that's not seemingly the view of others, and it's not brought down in the Siach HaSodeh, who lists other things which are kosher l'shikcho, something which we once discussed. There's a famous story in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. In Sanhedrin Daf Yud Aleph, it talks about Rebbe giving a shear, and he felt that somebody in the shear was smelling badly of garlic. So he announced, could anyone who had eaten garlic please leave the shear? And Rab Chia began to stand up, and then everybody else also stood up, and everybody walked out, and the shear had to be cancelled. And the following morning the son of Rebbe met Rabbi Chia and said to him, you know, why did you do this? B'shacha Motzer Reb Shimon ben Rebbe, Reb Chia, he says, Atu she'tzatel Abba, why did you trouble my father? As if to say, you know, why were you eating garlic, says Rashi. He says, why did you eat the garlic which disturbed everybody? Rabbi Chia did not eat any garlic. But the reason why he stood up was so as not to put to shame the person who had eaten the garlic. And when the others saw Rabbi Chia getting up, they took the cue and realized that they too should all go, so as not to put to shame in public that person who had eaten garlic, smelly that it was. He answered him, Lo tekezos, it wasn't like this. Chas v'sholom, that I should have eaten garlic to disturb your father. So Rashi is saying that he was denying he had eaten the garlic, but the Maharsha says a slightly different pshat. The Maharsha says that the reason why we all went out, it's not to do with the fact that I had eaten garlic, it's the fact that Bittul Torah, although it's a bad thing, is overridden by the issur of putting somebody to shame in public. And therefore, if it means being mevatel a whole shear, it's better that that happens rather than someone being put to shame. So garlic can have a bit of a smell about it. One of my sons had a very bad cough which just didn't go away, and nothing could help, doctors couldn't help, and it was a cough which went on for a long time. So Moshe Kalman, a natural healer of Manchester, said, before he goes to sleep at night, put garlic under his feet. Put raw garlic under his feet, and it will penetrate, go right through the bloodstream, and it will enter his lungs. And Baruch Hashem, the cough went away, but by golly did his feet smell. So that is the thing about garlic. The modern nutritionists say that it's marvellous, it's a decongestant, it's like an antibiotic, it's antibacterial, it's antiviral, it's antifungal, it's antisocial. So what bracha do you say of a garlic? This same son of mine who used to love onions when he was a very young boy, once when he was being punished in school at the tender age of 6, he was told by his teacher to eat a raw onion. So he took the onion and he just ate it up as though it was an apple, much to the horror and consternation of the teachers. So the question is, what bracha do you make over raw onions? What bracha do you make over raw onions and raw garlic? And the poskim agree that since it's not the normal way of eating to eat simply a raw onion or raw garlic on their own, you do not make bo pri adoma, you make shehakol mi'abidvaro. So is garlic really good for you? And there isn't such a clear-cut approach in the Gemara. The Gemara in Erev in Nun Hei talks about different, the Rishonim there talk about different opinions. Rashi says that garlic is good for you. The Rambam is not so much of that view, where in Hilchos Deos Perek Dalad Halacha Tes, he says that both onions and garlic should only be eaten in small amounts, in moderation, and then only in the winter months, the Yomos HaGashomim he calls it. Whereas in the summer he thinks that such raw food should not be eaten at all. Which is rather strange, because in the Gemara in Bava Kamma, Daf Pei Beis, Amud Aleph, it talks about Ezra who made 10 takonos. He spoke about the takonos of doing Kriyas HaTorah, Minchat Shabbos, Monday, Thursdays, the courts being open then, and washing clothes on Thursdays in preparation for Shabbos. And one of the things he said was that a married man should eat garlic on Friday, because it prepares him well as an aphrodisiac. Vashum marbe sazera. There's a brisa that Gemara brings there that garlic satisfies, it warms the body, it brightens the face, it increases the male virility, it kills parasites. So therefore, why doesn't the Rambam mention Ezra's rule about the idea of eating garlic if he frowned upon it so much? How come that he would say that eating garlic is bad for you if the Gemara is saying it's good for you? So the Rashash in the Dorim Lamed Aleph and the Merkeres HaMishnah suggests, well, nowadays Mishtane HaTeva, people's bodies are different, we have different diets, we have different climates, and therefore what might have been good written about in the Gemara might not be good nowadays. That was the view then. And the Avodas HaMelech writes that the Rambam was referring to raw garlic being in moderation, whereas Ezra was talking about cooked garlic. Well, there are a number of different views. There are some places in Gemara where onions and garlic are regarded as very harmful. In the Dorim Samach Vov, it talks about somebody who makes a neder not to eat onions because of the fact that it's believed to harm his heart. But there the Gemara says that if he eats kofri, which is a certain kind of onion, which is not the same, then it's okay and he's not breaching his neder and it's not going to harm his heart. In Gemara Iri in Chavtes, it talks about someone who died straight after eating an onion, and so we say we know what the cause was. Rav Popper's saying there he didn't have a drink afterwards, and that's the reason. And the Gemara in Kedushin Salach Beis talks about onions being hard for the body. And the Baal Shem Tov in Parshas Yisro, it says that he would never eat raw garlic at all. The Tameam in Hogim, he says that one should make a point of eating onions and garlic on Shabbos, because since the mon did not taste like onions or garlic, and you're supposed to enjoy all foods, so when you eat various foods, it's as if you're eating the mon, but you haven't had your onions and garlic, so you'll eat that as well. That's his view. So whether garlic is good for you or not, there is a mission in the Dorim Perek Tes Mem Ches which indicates that onions are not so good for you. But the bottom line is, eat a balanced diet and eat things in moderation. There is a very interesting custom for Chumrah not to eat garlic or onions which have been left unpeeled overnight. The Gemara in Mizah Yud Zayin says that one eats a peeled garlic or onion or egg for that matter left overnight is mischayev benafsho. He is threatening his own life and he is causing his own death by it, and it's as if it's suicidal. It's quite remarkable because the Shulchan Aruch does not bring this down. A lot of Rishonim do not bring this down. And it seems that those who hold by this are saying that even if you wrap up this onion or garlic, even if you say wrap it in cling film and leave it in the fridge overnight, because there's something called a ruach ro which can dwell on it, you don't eat it. But the Rambam does not quote this. The Shulchan Aruch, the Rif, the Torah, none of them bring this down. And that is why, according to many, you don't have to keep to this custom. The Chiddush Anshei Shem in Shabbos Perek Chaf Gimel says there's no ruach ro nowadays coming from this. And therefore, you can eat it. And that's the reason why many people are lenient. We are aware of not to eat fish and meat together, mishum sakona. This is not mishum isur, by the way. It's, the rabbis felt that eating fish and meat together you shouldn't do, so you'll, after your fish you'll have a drink, or if you eat your meat first you'll wash your hands afterwards. So there we keep up this tradition very strongly of not eating fish and meat together. There are some people who will not eat milk with or cheese with fish as a mixture. So those who put anchovies on their pizza can be a bit of a problem. But that's also something which is not widespread. The Pri Chodosh Paskens Lahachme. He says that one should not eat this onion or garlic peeled, left unpeeled overnight in Yerodeo Kufteh Zayim. And the Shutz Ma'asham says it's not right to be lenient on a Chashas Sakona. If there's a doubt about whether it's an Issa or not, we might be lenient. But because it's an issue of regarding for safety, he feels one should be Machme, and so says the Brik HaYosef. The Shutz Beis Shlomo says only if it's raw. If it's been cooked, then this doesn't apply. The Orach HaShulchan is Machme on this in Kufteh Zayin, and so is the Ben Ish Chai. Even the Chavetz Chaim recommends that one refrains from eating any onions or garlic which have been left unpeeled overnight. He says this in the Likutei Halachos. And the Igros Moshe, Rav Moshe Feinstein, was asked about caterers who are using some sorts of frozen eggs which have already been a few days old, and bakeries are using it. And he says, although minadin it's not osur, he says one should be raw. It's royal lahachmir. One should ideally be machmir. And so says Rav Avadia Yosef in the Abiyah Omer in Chelek Beis. However, the Ben Ish Chai and the Kaf HaChaim say that if the onion or garlic has already been mixed with other foods, such as in a salad, or it was only partially unpeeled and not fully unpeeled, or if such foods had already been cooked, then this doesn't apply. The Kaf HaChaim in Kufteh Zayin also says if it was left in vinegar or dipped in salt water, also this won't apply. So there's a custom which a lot of people have not heard of, and a lot of people are very particular about, who will go out of their way to make sure that they're not going to eat any garlic or onion which has been left unpeeled overnight.
Can I ask, is it just those, you mentioned onion, garlic and eggs, does it apply to any other foods?
It's usually those three which are grouped together, onions, garlic and egg, yes.
You talked about garlic and ice, and you mentioned that it might also apply to lemon juice.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it referring to any other food, including lemons. Yes?
You mentioned that in the economy, the garlic based, according to one, on the Omar, based on that there's no, the notion that there's no raw in the world anymore. But why do we do Nagel Vassar anymore?
No, we're not saying there's no Ruach Ra anymore at all. We say with Nagel Vassar that there is Ruach Ra. It's just that those Poskim who are saying the reason why Rambam and Shulchan Aruch don't bring it down is because Ruach Ra doesn't apply to onions and garlic.
Surely all garlic is unpeeled.
Well, you have a clove and there's like a white paperish cover on the clove, and that's what we mean by whether it's peeled or unpeeled. If that
then you start white, the clove, it's still okay. It's only when you start peeling.
Yes, it's that last leg of the whitish paperish stuff on the clove which is called whether it's unpeeled. There are some interesting customs relating to garlic. There are some people who, if they visit a cemetery on Tisha B'Av, they have a custom to bring garlic with them and to scatter it. Mavriach hachitzonim, it chases away some external strange forces, says the Tamiyam in Hogim B'Shem Yishar HaMelech. And the reason for it is that the whole year round we are protected by Torah, by learning Torah, whereas on Tisha B'Av we're not learning Torah, so we have some other form of protection for us when we enter into a Beis Olam. There's another fascinating custom about garlic, which I think Henry just mentioned before, and that is at a Pidyon HaBen. There's a custom some have to put on the tray next to the baby some cloves of garlic, or people take home with them, people wrap up garlic and also with cubes of sugar. And if you look in the Sefer Pidyon HaBen Kehilchoso, he looks at the sources for this strange custom, and he brings down the idea that from the Arizal, that when you attend a Seuda for a Pidyon HaBen, it's such a great mitzvah that it's considered to be the equivalent of fasting for 84 different days. Pidyon HaBen Pei Dalad, 84, Gematria, Yom, day, 84 days. And so some people give out challah to take home with them, they're taking something from the Seuda. But the widespread custom is to give people to take home with them cloves of garlic. And he says the reason for this brings from the Sefer Divrei Shir, and that there's a Shulchan Aruch Arachayim in Siman Tov Tes, Sif Zayin, on the din of Eruv Techumim. When you're out in the countryside and you want to extend your walking distance on Shabbos, so what do you do before Shabbos? You make an Eruv Techumim at the end of your 2,000 Amos, so that you can walk a further 2,000 amos for the purpose of a mitzvah, of going to a minyan or something like that. So the idea is there is that you will put aside the equivalent of two meals for your Erev Techumen in this hidden place, that you can extend your walking distance. But it can be quite cumbersome to put out two meals, because the halacha is you're supposed to put out for every person who makes use of that Erev. Once I was on a Swiss village and people knew I was making a Erev Techumen to enable us to walk. The Hasmonean camp was in our village, but it stopped. And so we walked into the next village, which was just outside the Techum, called Sazfei. So I made Erev Techumen, and people said to me, oh, could you have me in mind when you make your Erev Techumen? And the problem is, it's not like Erev Chatzeros, where we're carrying inside a town, you can just have one box of matzahs, and that's good enough. For Erev Techumen, you need a meal for every single person. So how much food can you put out? And you don't want the animals to eat it, so you can't just leave it in a Tesco bag. You need a metal tin. So the Shulchan Aruch says that if you leave something which is davar charif, something which is very sharp, and the word uses lifton, it's the equivalent of two seudos. So if you put out a clove of garlic, it's as if you're putting out the equivalent of a whole meal, or even two meals. And therefore, the custom is to be lenient when you put this davar charif or garlic out for your Erev Techumen. So since the garlic is regarded as the equivalent of a meal, when you're giving it to somebody to take home from the Pidyon HaBen, it's as if the person who's at home has been eating a whole seudah of a Pidyon HaBen. Hence the custom of taking home garlic from a Pidyon HaBen. Fascinating custom. The Prima Godin brings down a Siman Tov Samach Dalet in Hilchas Pesach that there is a minhag not to eat garlic on Pesach. He says, I don't know what the reason is for this custom. But the Magen Avraham seems to imply that it's because we're worried that it may have been cut with a chomutzdik knife, and garlic is something sharp, and therefore things might transfer. And the Sefer Nosim Ba'alacha says that there has often been a custom with garlic powder for people to mix flour into it. When talking about onions and garlic, it's perhaps pertinent to mention the subject of insect infestation. Rabbi Falkin is safer amidst garlic. Presumably the insects don't like the smell. But onions, although they are rarely infested, they can have thrips in them if they are beginning to rot or they're soft. The important thing to note is that spring onions, which are often called salad onions or scallions, do have a lot of infestation, particularly between the tubular white leaf and the green stalk. That is where insects tend to congregate, and there is a need to slice the spring onion in an elongated way so that you can open up the inside hollow part and inspect it. People who just chop it up without therefore inspecting the inside part are risking the fact that they will be eating insects. Garlic is interestingly used as a parable, as a moshel, on a number of different places. And so we're going to move away a bit now from the world of real life to some of these interesting parables. The Ar HaChaim HaKadosh talks about it on the famous story when Hashem wanted to give the Torah to Klal Yisrael. When Hashem wanted to give the Torah, before he gave it to us, he went round the various peoples of the world offering it to them. And he offered it to Esav, to Moab, to Yishmael, and they asked what's in it. Esav, he said to them, you may not murder. Esav said, how can we keep the Torah? You may not murder, we live by it, doing murder. And then there was Moab, Lotinot, you may not commit immorality, and they say, oh, well, our lives are based on immorality, and Ishmael, not to steal, and we live by stealing. And then he came to give the Torah to Klal Yisrael, who said, Naaseh v'nishma. So the Ar HaChaim HaKadosh asks in Shmos Yudtes, Pasuk Hey, he says, what sort of answer is this that the peoples of the world give to Hashem? Is that a justified answer? We can't accept the Torah because it says you cannot steal, or you cannot murder, you can't commit adultery. So he says, Misha ochal shum, v'reicha nodei, the person who eats garlic, and he's already smelling so much from it, yachza v'ochal shum, acha kadeshi reicha nodei, is he then going to eat even more garlic so that he smells even more? It's bad enough that you eat garlic and you're smelling already, but then you're not going to cure it by having more garlic and then smelling even more. These people already commit murder and theft and adultery. That's no reason then that they should then carry on doing it. They should stop. So why did Hashem accept what they had said? Well, truly, their answer wasn't an answer. It's no justification to say we can't do these things, apart from the fact that it's the Shema Mitzvah B'nai Nach, which we discussed last month. But Hashem didn't really want to give them the Torah. Hashem just simply didn't want them to claim afterwards, hey, hold on a minute, why didn't you give us the Torah? So Hashem could say, well, I offered it to you before he gave it to Klal Yisrael. A contrast to Naaseh V'Nishma. So the Gemara in Brachos, and this is even in Halacha, because the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Nun Aleph, says, they asked Rabbi Chista, somebody who ate and was drinking, but forgot to make a bracha. So a person was eating, didn't make a bracha, what's the din? As he's already through his meal, almost finished, Mao Shiachsev Yivarech, does he still then make the bracha? Amar Lahem, so Rabbi Chista said to them, Misha ochal shum v'recha noyle, if a person's already eaten garlic and he's smelling from it, yachza v'ochal shum ache kadeshe recha noyle, should he then eat more garlic in order to aggravate his smell? That is to say, it's bad enough you didn't make a bracha at the beginning of your meal, but now you want to carry on eating without a bracha? Of course you make a bracha, so you make a bracha now. And according to Ravina, even after you've finished, you'll still make that bracha. Well then once you've finished the halacha, you're not going to make the bracha rishona anymore. But unless you have some other morsel to eat. But the idea is that garlic is used as the moshel. The Vilna Gaon brings this phrase, strangely, in Hilchos Muktzah, in Shabbos, where it talks about if you've got some muktzah in your hand which you legitimately moved, something like a pen is allowed to be moved if it's the Surah Gufo Makomo, you need the place that it's in, because it's not such a strict form of muktzah, a pen, because you can use it, say, to stir your tea if you've got nothing else. So you lift it up and you move it somewhere else. But once you've got it in your hand and you're moving it, can you keep it in your hand? Well, you put it in your hand legitimately, so do you have to drop it straight away once you don't need it anymore? And the Vilna Gaon is contrasting it with muktzah, which you brought in when Shabbos was coming in to save something from destruction. So he says, if you held it behesa, that's fine. But if you are holding it be'issa, once you're holding it, that doesn't mean you can carry on holding it. You should drop it straight away. He says, Misha ochal shum v'recha noda, if a person who eats garlic and he's already smelling from it, should he then eat further garlic? That is to say, if you are holding muktzah, don't say, oh well, I'm holding it now, it doesn't make any difference. You drop it. And it's strange how this example of garlic comes up in so many different instances. And Hilchos Sfiras HaOmer, the Maharat Sgeyos says, if a person forgot to count the first night of the Sfiras HaOmer, he thinks, oh well, there's no point carrying on now, I'm out of it, I've lost out. So he says, you still carry on. Alright, we're paskin, you carry on without a bracha. Some say it's a mitzvah every day, and some say no, it's one composite mitzvah, 49 parts. But what he says, Misha Ochal Shum, somebody who ate garlic, you don't want the smell to carry on, just carry on counting Sfiras HaOmer. The Beis Yosef I just mentioned in Aruch Chaim Kavayin Dal, it talks about fasting. If on a fast you by mistake had eaten, you don't say, oh well, I'm out of it now, I've already eaten. You don't say, I can eat because I broke the fast. Misha ochal shum recha nodev, just because you had some garlic and you're smelling from it, doesn't mean you can then carry on and continuously do what you've been doing. There's an interesting question in the Shulchan Aruch. Can an Amoritz, who's a total ignoramus and doesn't keep anything, can he be included in Mezumah when you're benching? The Bu'ah Halacha talks about this in Siman Kuf Tzadi Tes. And he says, of course you include the Amoritz in your benching. Well, Shulchan Aruch says this. So he uses this phrase, you don't give up on him. You don't give up on the Amoritz. Simply because he had eaten garlic, figuratively, and he was smelling from it, namely he's not keeping the mitzvahs, does that mean you encourage him to eat further garlic and to smell even more? So we include an Amoritz in the bracha of Mezumah. I beg your pardon?
We can't apply. Then you're saying
you
let
his bench. Yeah, but you can include him in your minimum number.
So if you've got one, you've got two on the left, you still do it.
That's what the Shulchan Aruch says, yes.
So who replies to
you? Well, if nobody replies, then you're probably better off avoiding it. Yeah, you need someone to reply. But the Shulchan Aruch says you can include an Amoritz maybe he means when you've got nine and you want to say the Elokeinu and you have one extra, including the Amoritz, that makes up the ten. So he doesn't specify if nobody at all answers. You can't do Mezumen if nobody answers, I agree. I was once sitting in the house of Rabbi Roberts, and he received a phone call from somebody who was purporting to be a rabbi, who asked him a rather odd question. He asked him, is this other fellow who was purporting to be a rabbi? I'm not Rabbi Roberts. Rabbi Roberts was asked this question, that there was this Jewish gentleman who was living as though he were married with a non-Jewish woman. So Rabbi Roberts was asked, does this Jewish man still have to keep the mitzvah of mezuzah? And Rabbi Roberts got very upset about this question. He said, what do you mean? Of course he's got to keep mezuzah. He's got to keep everything. He's got to keep tzitzis. He's got to keep tefillin. He's got to keep kashrus. He's got to keep shabbos. Of course he's got to keep mezuzah. How can you possibly ask such a question? This fellow thought that maybe that since he had completely left the fold, that he no longer had a chiyuv of mezuzah. And really it's this same idea. Nisha ochal shum, a person who's eating garlic and he's stinking from it, does that mean he can then eat further garlic and make himself smell even more? Of course not. He's still got to keep all these other mitzvahs. Rav Yaakov Emden in the Shalos HaTshuvos of the Yavetz writes in Chelek Aleph Simen Chuf Chaf Dalet on the dinim of Kavura. There's a din of burial that one buries a man with a talis. So what if this man never wore a talis in his life? He actually talks about a blind man who didn't wear a talis. Do you bury him with a talis? So he said, even if a person did not wear a talis their whole life, he said, of course, because there might be something called loig l'rosh, which in practice means it can be an embarrassment to that dead person's neshama that he's wearing a talis now and he never wore a talis during his lifetime. So maybe one should not bury him with a talis because it might embarrass the neshama. So he says, V'chi misha achal shum v'echa nodef, are you going to say that a person who eats some garlic and is smelling from it should now eat further garlic? If he didn't wear a talis during his lifetime, then you still bury him with a talis. The phrase is also used by Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld in discussing the story of Yosef in the Chumash. Then Shutz Taras Chaim, he talks about Yosef HaTzadik. He saw jealousy in his life and he saw trouble by the way his brothers behaved towards him. So why did Yosef behave the way he did by switching round the hands on Ephraim and Manasseh? Surely he might be causing jealousy in doing so. He had already experienced jealousy. Misha ochal shum v'recha nodei. He had already had the taste of garlic and the smell of it. And therefore, why was Yosef trying to do this to his father to change round the hands on Ephraim and Manasseh? Because he might be causing jealousy as a result between his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Yeah, he tried to uncross them. So why does he interfere with what his father wanted, which might cause jealousy between the sons? But on there, what he tried to do was a logical thing. He tried to correct his father that the Bechor gets the right hand and the other one gets the left hand. So it wasn't in his mind to cause any trouble. He just simply thought that was the correct thing to do. But so there was not really a case for eating further garlic. There's a Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph, Dorash Rav Ulla. Rav Ulla asks the question, Ma'adich Siv Al Tishaharbe. He quotes a pasuk from Koheles, don't be overly wicked. Don't be too much of a Rosha. Which is a very strange thing to say. You shouldn't be a Rosha at all. So the Gemara there says, are you saying that just because you're not allowed to be a Rosha a lot, you're allowed to be a Rosha a little bit? You're not allowed to be a Rosha at all. What does it mean? So the Gemara says, Elomisha ochal shum. But a person who's eaten garlic, v'recho nodef, and he is smelling profusely, yachza v'yochal shum ache v'recho nodef, are you suggesting that he should be smelling even more as a result of eating additional garlic? So the Gemara itself says, if a person's done an Aveira, and so he is a shtickle Rosha, is he then going to say, oh, I've already done Aveiras, and therefore I can carry on being a Rosha, and then I can do further Aveiras? Obviously not. Strangely, the Yalkut has a different girsa, says the Marsha. Misha achal shum ve'ein reichai merudeif, where if a person has eaten garlic and he is not smelling from it, is he then going to eat more garlic and then smell as a result? And that's his way of explaining the Gemara, that you're not really smelling at the beginning, but you're going to smell more if you carry on doing your Aveiros. So the Chasam Sofer says, we've got an extremely important message coming out from this. He says, when a person eats garlic, he is making himself antisocial. People want to keep away from him. People don't like the smell. In fact, the smell of the breath is one thing, and you can try destroying it with mint, but apparently after 24 hours the whole body is perspiring this smell of garlic, and that might even smell even more. Alright, just as a warning. So my wife tells me after I've had it. So the Chasam Sofer says we got here a real big toeles coming out from this Gemara. He says, a person might feel that he's not really losing out by eating additional garlic, because look, I'm smelling already, so I'll eat a bit more, so what? But that's not really the case, because there reaches a point where your garlic smell, even if it's perspiration rather than your breath, will decrease over time, and as it will decrease it will stop, and if you carry on eating it then the smell will carry on even further. So he says, that is the same thing with a person who does Aveiros. If a person is doing Aveiros and he thinks to himself, oh, there's no point stopping now because I'm too far gone down the line, I've done my Aveiros, I can carry on, and the person gives himself this license to carry on doing sins because he feels he's already breached the boundaries, as it were. So the Chasam Sofer says, a person has to realize that as soon as one stops doing an Aveira, he immediately becomes what's called a tzaddik gomor. As soon as he says, right, I'm stopping, and I stop doing this sin, that from that moment onwards he's called tzaddik gomor. Miyad berega shemekabel alav lahetiv derachov. As soon as he has taken on himself to improve his ways, harihu tzaddik gomor, in line with Gemara in Kedushin, daf mem tes on its base. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a cheshbon, and if a person does an aveira many, many times, then that will reflect in the onus that a person gets. But as soon as he stops, then he becomes a tzaddik. And a similar thing is written by the Maharal in the Chidush HaGodos on that Gemara in Shabbos. It comes to explain, Kivin Shechotam Mali in Yosef Bechet. A person thinks, what does it matter if I carry on with sinning? And an interesting example of this is Elisha ben Avuya, whom we once discussed. Elisha ben Avuya was an Abikaras. Though he was the Rebbe of Rabbi Meir, he was a very big, great Talmud Chochom, but he went off the rails, he became an Abikaras, and he was riding on a horse on Shabbos, and he was near the Har HaBayis, and he heard a heavenly voice. He heard a bas kol saying that there's hope for everybody to do teshuvah. Shuvu lachem lo aleichem. Chutz mi Elisha ben Avuya. But for Elisha ben Avuya, there's no hope. He heard this bas kol. There's a halacha, ein mashgich in the bas kol. You don't listen to a bas kol. It was an assignment for him. A person has to know that even if he's so far gone, pischeli kechudo shel macha, Hashem says, if you open up the eye of a needle, just a small opening, to bring God back into your life, Hashem says, Ani paseach lachem, I will open up for you big doorways, big archways. And it was an Isaiah that he made this mistake, that he said to Rabbi Meir, look, there's no hope for me, I'm too far gone. And there's no hope for teshuva. There is hope for everybody. And this is the message which comes out from this Gemara of Alter Shaharbe, Anisha Ochal Shuvarecha Nodeh. Somebody who's eaten garlic, somebody who's done Aveiros, even if it's lots of Aveiros, and he's really smelling from it spiritually, a person should not say, well, there's no hope for me anymore. Because the moment a person stops, or tries to stop, and begins to stop, he's already moving into this passageway of being called a tzaddik. And it clears up the mess. The smell goes away. The garlic doesn't affect other people anymore. And spiritually, the sins won't affect him anymore. And that is the lesson which we learn. Is an interesting moshul, how garlic comes up in so many different ways to give us this idea that however antisocial it might be to others, and it's against ourselves in the spiritual way, me she'ochal shum v'reicha nodeh, the person who's eaten garlic and he smells profusely, does that mean yachzav ye'ochal shum acher v'reicha nodeh, does that mean he will carry on eating garlic? There is hope for everybody. if you stop doing your aveiros, you do a proper teshuva, it's just as if you've stopped eating the garlic and the smell goes away. Thank you very much.